Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Guru Vishnu Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane. Namaste, Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvashesha Shanivani Pashtata Desha Charane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadara, Shri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 28, verse 55. Sa Vam Vihaya Mam Bandho Gato Brahmya Charan Madam Adrakshi Kayachan Nirmitam Striya Satvam Vihaya Mambando
Satvam Vihaya Mambando
Gato Gramya Matir Mahim
Gato Gramya Matir Mahim
Vicharan Padam Adrakshi
Vicharan Padam Adrakshi
Kayachan Nirmitam Striya
Kayachan Nirmitam Striya
Satvam Vihaya
Mam Bandho
Gato Gramya
Madir Mahim
Vicharan Padam Adrakshi
Vicharan Padam
Adrakshi
Satvam Vihaya Mam Bandho Gato Gramya Madir Mahim
Vicharan Padam
Adrakshi
Kayachan Nirmitam
प्रयाचन्निरूपं स्त्रिया स्वतं विहाय मां बन्धो गतो ग्राम्या मतिर्महि विचारन् पदम् आदृक्षि कयाचिन्निर्मितं स्त्रियः
स दट्स् वन् फ्रम् योर् विहाय लिविङ्ग् माम् मी Bando, oh friend, Ngata, whence, Gramya, material, Mati, consciousness, Mahim, to earth, Vicharan, traveling, Padam, position, Adrakshi, Yusa, Kayacha, by someone, Nirmitam, manufactured, Striya, by a woman. Translation, my dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic. And not seeing me, you have been traveling in different forms throughout this material world which is created by some woman. Whereupon, when the living energy falls down, he goes into the material world, which was created by the external energy of the Lord. This external energy is described here as some woman or Prakriti. This material world is composed of material elements, ingredients, supplied by Mahatattva, the total material energy. The material world created by this external energy becomes the so-called home of the conditioned soul. Within this material world, the conditioned soul accepts different apartments or different bodily forms and then travels about. Sometimes he travels in the higher planetary systems and sometimes in the lower systems. Sometimes he travels in higher species of life and sometimes in lower species. He has been wandering within this material world since time immemorial. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmanda Brahmita Kon Bhagyavan Aji Guru Krishna Prasad Epai Bhakti Bhada Peej. The living energy wanders in many species of life, but he is fortunate when he once again meets his friend either in person or through his representative. Actually, this Krishna who personally advises all living entities to return home back to Godhead. Sometimes Krishna sends his representative, who, delivering Krishna's very message, canvasses all living entities to return home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, the living entity is so greatly attached to material enjoyment that he does not take the instructions of Krishna or his representative very seriously. This material tendency is mentioned in this verse as Gramya Mati. The word Mahi means this within this material world. All living entities within this material world are essentially inclined, consequently become entangled in different types of bodies and suffer the pangs of material existence. In that city there are 5 gardens, 9 gates, 1 protector, 3 apartments, 6 families, 5 stores, 5 material elements, and 1 woman, who is lord of the house. My dear friend, the 5 gardens are the 5 objects of sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air, which passes through the 9 gates. The 3 apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The 6 families are the aggregate total of the mind and 5 senses. Wherefore, the 5 senses that acquire knowledge are sight, taste, smell, sound, and touch, and these act through the 9 gates. 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 mouth, 2 nostrils, genital, and 1 rectum. These holes are compared to gates in the walls of the city. Principal ingredients are the earth, water, and fire, and the principal actor is the mind, which is controlled by the intelligence. The 5 stores are the 5 working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the 5 elements, which are eternal. Beyond all this activity of the soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. Whereupon the living entity enters the material creation with the aid of the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and thus his body is formed. Although the living entity is working within, from within, he is nonetheless unknown. The living entity enters the material creation, but because he is bewildered by the material energy, he appears to be hidden. The bodily conception of life is prominent because of ignorance. Intelligence is described in the feminine gender, but owing to her prominence in all activities, she is described in this verse as Adisha, the controller. The living entity lives by means of fire, water, and food grains. It is through the combination of these 3 the body is maintained. Consequently, the body is called prakriti, material creation. All the elements gradually combine to form flesh, bone, blood, and so on. All these appear as various apartments. It is said in the Vedas that the digested foods are ultimately divided into three. The solid portion becomes stool, and the semi-liquid portion turns into flesh. The liquid portion turns yellow and is again divided into three. One of these liquid portions is called urine. Similarly, the fiery portion is divided into three, and one is called bone. Out of the five elements, fire, water, and food grains are very important. Ether I mentioned in the previous verse, whereas sky, ether, and air are not mentioned. This is all explained in Bhagavad Gita. Material energy and living entity should be understood to be beginningless. The transformations of the modes of matter are products of material nature. Prakriti, material nature, and Purusha, the living entity, are eternal. When they are both come in contact, there are different reactions and manifestations. All of them should be considered the results of the interaction of the three modes of material nature. My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic, not seeing me. You are traveling in different forms throughout this material world, created by some woman. In that city, there are five gardens, nine gates, one protector, three apartments, six families, five stores, five material elements, and one woman, who is the lord of the house. My dear friend, the five gardens, the five objects of the sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air, which passes through the nine gates. The three apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The six families are the aggregate total of the mind and five senses. The five stores are the five working sense organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the five elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer of reality. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. So here, the Supreme Lord, as the Brahmana, is teaching the meaning of the previous experiences of Varanjana. Of course, that was a whole allegory. And now, in brief, the Supreme Lord is teaching the meaning of that allegory by explaining the different things. The most important element, of course, is the Atma and the Supreme Lord. So these have already been described as two swans or two birds who are swimming in the Manasa Sarova, which is the heart. And then these other elements are described by the Brahmana as he travels from place to place in the material world, which is described here. He wanders around in the material world with a desire to enjoy. And the material world is created by some woman, in other words, by Maya Devi or Durga Devi. We have a material world, and the jiva is wandering around in that world. And then he comes to a city. Previously it was described that Varanjana wandered around. Finally he found a place that he liked, and that was this particular city. So this city is now described as having five gardens, nine gates, one protector, three apartments, six families, five stores, five material elements, and a woman who is the lord of the house. So all this indicates the material body of the human being. With the different old names, the senses, the prana, the objects of the senses, the intelligence, and the mind. So all this operating within the body. And beyond that, of course, we have the Atma itself and the Paramatma. The unfortunate condition is that the jiva forgets, is covered by ignorance, and goes from body to body, and then takes up a residence in the body, and forgets what to do, and he tries to enjoy within this material body.
identifies with this material body, and sooner or later he has to give it up, and then as Prancha did, he has to grieve because he has to leave that city which is burning down due to old age and death. So the problem here is that the Atma does not recognize the Supreme Lord. That's his first condition, and then consequently he is put in this material body in the material world and wanders around. So the solution to all of this is, if the jiva recognizes the Lord, then it becomes freed from that condition. In other words, ignorance is removed by recognition of the Lord. And then he's able to overcome this situation in the material world where he's enjoying with all these different material things. So we may ask, what is wrong with the jiva enjoying in the city? He's got a material body, so why not use everything in the city? We could say yes. It was described how Pranjana went out hunting and he went through the different gates, which means he got his enjoyment, and he came back and he enjoyed very nicely with the queen. But we also see that eventually he had to give up that city. When he did so, he was in great distress. So this is the problem of enjoying within the material body. There is an end to that situation, and that will cause great pain for the jiva. Then he has to take another body and start the same process again. So at minimum, even if he does enjoy within the material body, he must give up that body at a certain point. And because of his attachment, it's very painful to give up that body. So this is the problem. There's another problem, a deeper problem, of course, in that though the jiva is enjoying, in one sense, in that material body, it is not natural, because the jiva is spiritual by nature. And the objects that he enjoys and the whole city he occupies are material. So there's a difference between the Atma and the things he's enjoying. Jiva is chit, body, senses, mind, intelligence, and the objects of this world are all achit. So, still you can get enjoyment, but it is an inferior type of enjoyment. And of course, it's inferior because we'll see the result of it. It is temporary. You have to give it up, etc., in various ways. It's attached to condition of a material body. You can only enjoy in the material if you have a material body, but the material body must be given up eventually. So there's conditions attached to that type of enjoyment. So the jiva by nature is eternal, and therefore he also desires eternal bliss. So when he gets temporary situations, it is not satisfying to the jiva. So this is why the jiva cannot completely enjoy in the material world with his material body. Because he wants eternal enjoyment, but he doesn't get that. He gets this temporary type of situation due to the fact that matter is temporary in its manifestations. So this is the awkward or the unsuitable position of the jiva in the material world. Nevertheless, the jiva continues to carry out this process repeatedly, without beginning, and even without end. Why he would do this if it is unnatural to him and unsatisfying? So one answer is ignorance. The more ignorant we are, the more foolish we act. And ignorance also means laziness. So though the jiva understands to some degree, because he's in ignorance, he can't understand completely, but still, he understands it's not really satisfying. Still, because of his ignorance and his laziness, he can do nothing about it. He's not willing to do anything about it. So he just continues like this, okay. it's not so satisfying, but something better than nothing. So let me continue in the material world. This is position. Huh? And of course, out of ignorance, he can also think, well, it's not so good now, but if I get more and more, then I can get more enjoyment. So, due to ignorance, the jiva becomes bewildered, and how he strives for, with the hope of getting any enjoyment, but he never gets it. So this is the position of the jiva in the material world due to ignorance. The position of the king, Prashnavarisha, was similar to this. He was absorbed in sacrifices for material happiness only. And consequently, Narada Muni came to get him out of that situation. So his first strategy is to make him understand that you're actually not related to this material body at all. This position is unnatural. That going in the city and enjoying in this way is not, can never be satisfied. So to do that, he gives this story of Purunchana in the city and how he has to give it up. And then he is born as a woman, marries Malayadwaj and Malayadachadwaj, and then he has to grieve. He has to go through suffering and separation from the husband. So this story is meant to illustrate the fact of the unsatisfactory position of the jiva situated in the material body, trying to enjoy in the material world. So the concept is very simple, and of course, this is the position that Krishna takes in teaching Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. His first strategy is to tell Arjuna, you're not the material body, you're actually an Atma. Atma is eternal, body is temporary, tolerate the situations of happiness and distress in the material body. So the Narada Muni here is also using such a strategy of first giving Prashnavarisha knowledge that you're not the material body, and he does it through this particular story, allegorical story. Actually, not much is known about Gaurav Kishore. His history is not really known. He was born somewhere out here in Bangladesh. He came from a Vaishya family. Then he went off. He was married, I think, was a Grihastha for some time. And then he went off to Vrindavan, and he was living there for a long period of time. It's also unclear who initiated him, actually. Apparently, some people have traced it back that he was initiated by someone in Advaita's line. Family line. In any case, he became respected in Vrindavan because of his great detachment from material things and also his great devotion to chanting and the Supreme Lord. Then at a certain point, he came to Navadvipa, and of course there he met Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Even there, he was very renounced and became quite well known because of his detachment from material things, his constant engagement in chanting. But there are some stories there of his chanting because he didn't want to get the adoration of the people. He would chant near the latrines, which were very, very smelly. So he would just sit there and chant. Because he didn't want people coming around him. Food-wise, he didn't care what he ate. He would just wander in the bank of the Ganga and see something floating in the water. He'd take it up, gather bits of rice or whatever was floating around in the water, and he would eat that as his food. So he was very, very austere. But this was simply because of his great attachment to the Supreme Lord. And so therefore he was greatly respected for that. As I said, not much, too much is known of his history or whatever, where he got his knowledge from or whatever, but he was highly respected because of that, his great devotion and his worship and whatever. which was you know, very exalted nature. So he was very, very advanced and very, very attached to the Supreme Lord at all times.
You know, when we see that now Gaurav Vishwadas Babaji and maybe a few others have taken the decision in Advaita line, which is in fact inimical to the Vaishnava line.
No, there was I think two members of the family were considered not good. The others were okay. His line, Advaita's line. Nevertheless, all those lines all continued as hereditary lines, more or less, you know, from father to son, whatever like that. But that was the very nature of many of the lines. Srinivasacharya's line was more or less like that. After him, his wives were gurus. He had two wives, they became gurus, etc. And the same happened in Nityananda. His Janava became the guru, and then her son became a guru. Then I think the line died out there. And some disciples took over, and then their descendants became gurus. So that's a Nityananda Vamsa. And similarly, many other lines evolve simply through family connections. The same place thing took place in Vrindavan. Of course, the Goswamis there weren't married, so they didn't have any descendants. But the Pujaris in the temple became the gurus, and their families became line, like the Radharaman line was the Pujaris of Radharaman became, that family became hereditary lines of gurus also. And similarly for the other temples, those Goswami lines like that. That became quite prevalent as the means of parampara.
Maharaj, do we consider him as guna
fide or not? Generally we criticize. Well, it doesn't mean that everybody there is useless, but simply to get the title of guru because you're born from a certain family, that of course is not the principle. But nevertheless, we'll see that also even in the Sri Sampradaya. Ramanuja appointed 74 grihasthas as initiators, and then they carried on lines, their families carried on lines, some of which are still present today. So it's quite a common practice like that. Same thing happens in the Vallabha Sampradaya. This is mainly family lines there carried on. Generally, we criticize them as caste Goswamis. But in those lines, sometimes there are some also elevated souls. So we can't criticize everybody, but nevertheless, simply to accept that as the only means, it's not the principle.
Maharaj, why these, like Gaurakrishna Babaji, why they exhibit such austere, is it because they're oblivious to it, but external world sees them as austere?
Yeah, well, mainly because as Babaji's, Babaji Vesh means that they are by nature detached and renounced. And of course, the nature of renunciation is that one is attached to the Supreme Lord, so therefore he doesn't really care about the external world. So we see the same with the Goswamis from Vrindavan. They were simply absorbed in the Supreme Lord, and consequently they didn't care much about the material world. Bodies and whatever.
Maharaj, in that case, the principle of Yukta Vairagya is, Yukta Vairagya is a principle which is used by devotees who are advancing, and when they're advanced, they don't really care about the...
Well, even when they're advanced, they may use that principle. For instance, the Goswamis of Vrindavan built temples and whatever, so it's not that they rejected everything. So that's the choice of a particular person when he wants to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.